From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 31st day of October 2013. Happy Halloween. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. Matt Bennett from Total Grain Marketing, that's TGM, out of Windsor, Illinois, will join us to take a look at the cash grain market. And we'll take a look at the weather forecast as we wrap up this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online anytime you'd like and listen to any of our program in its entirety at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. For this Thursday afternoon, futures were lower. The soft red winter wheat in the December at 667.5, down 7.5 cents. The March at 679.5, 7 lower. In July, or the harvest month of next year, at 683.5, down 1¾ pennies. The hard red July at 723, 2 cents lower. December corn futures 428.25, down 2. March at 439.25, 2.5 lower. May contract at 447.5, down 2.5. And July corn, 3 cents lower at $4.54¼. December contract 469.5, down 2.5. And the March of 2015 at $4.79, down 2.5 cents. November beans $12.80¼, a settlement price 7.25 lower. January 12.66¼, down 10¼. March futures 12.50¼, 10.5 lower, and the May at 12.38¾, down 8¼. July soybeans $12.34¾, down 7¾, and the November of 2014 $11.58¼, down 10¾. December bean meal at 403.60, down 8.20. December bean oil 41.33, down 29 cents. Live cattle futures finished the October at 134.50, up $1.15. December 40 cents lower, finished at 132.72½. October feeder cattle per 100 pounds $165.32½, up a dime. November at 164.37½, down 57½, and the January there at 163.67½, down $1.12½. December lean hog futures on the afternoon at $89.17½, a settlement price down $1.22½, and February at $92.02½, down $1.07½. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the afternoon are currently trading the nearby contract at $96.30, down 47 cents. November RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, at $2.63¾ a gallon. That's $0.07 lower. Ethanol futures at $1.78¼, down $0.08. And the RBOB to ethanol spread is 84¼ wide. That's just about unchanged from yesterday. Natural gas at $3.58¼. That's 3¼ cents lower. Diesel fuel at $2.96¼ a gallon, $0.01 lower on the afternoon. And gold futures down $25.60 on their settlement price for the day at $1,323.70 for a troy ounce. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. This afternoon, occasional showers, possibly a thunderstorm, a high of 65 degrees on a south-southwest wind at 18 miles an hour. They'll gust all the way to 26. Chance of rainfall in the area set at 100%. Our total for the storm so far outside of the studios here in Urbana-Champaign is 1.44 inches. Tonight, occasional showers, possible thunderstorm. That'll all come before 11 p.m., and then a chance of showers between 11 and 2 a.m., a low of 43 degrees on a southwest wind at 14 to 17, gusting to 23, and it will rain, 100% chance in the area. Friday, mostly sunny skies, a high of 57 degrees on a west wind at 11 to 15. Friday night, clear, cooler, a low of 41. Saturday, mostly clear, and a high of 51 degrees. Winds will turn. They'll come out of the northwest at 8 to 16, then gust all the way to 26. Should feel pretty breezy and cool on Saturday. Saturday night, mostly clear and a low of 31, and Sunday, sunny skies and 52. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour here on Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, happy Halloween. It is the 31st day of October 2013. On the phone line with us to take a look at the futures markets, Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
How is Louisiana, New Orleans on Halloween? I can't imagine it's got to be a lot of fun.
Well, we basically had a party here at the office. People were allowed to dress up and bring in all kinds of Cajun food. We even had cow tongue soup.
I got to say, the last time I saw a cow tongue, it was sitting at home at my mother's house when we ate everything that came from the cow.
Yeah, you just don't ask what it is. You just eat it. You know how that goes.
Yeah, she ground it up, and we made like chicken salad. We made beef. She made beef salad out of it. It was really good. It was, but you learn to eat everything, don't you?
Lots well, I'm sure down at the French Quarter they'll be partying probably pretty hard, but I'm too old to go down there tonight. But I imagine it'll be pretty wild down at the French Quarter.
Well, I imagine it'll be fun. Hey, speaking of wild, this week's felt not wild, but a little heavy in the marketplace in Chicago. What'd you make of it so far?
Well, it's reflecting the better-than-expected yields. That's just been a steady, you know, a song that we basically have heard ever since the crops started being harvested in the Mississippi-Tennessee area. Everything has been better than expected, even when we got into the later planted crop, which I personally thought probably got dinged up pretty bad during August. Really didn't get hurt that bad. Yes, it's not as good as the early stuff, but everybody seems to be generally happy with the yields that they were able to bring in. So now we're getting toward the end of harvest, and probably today was somewhat of a day where a lot of farmers were probably forced to either move grain that they had at their local elevator or start paying storage charges on it. So you usually a lot of times at harvest you'll get a big sell-off at that day, and I think that's part of one of the reasons why the market wasn't able to really respond to the set of weekly, they weren't necessarily weekly, they were an accumulative set of export sales numbers, you know, that were all put together or done during the government shutdown. And they not only exceeded expectations, but by significant amounts. I mean, we had over 4.5 million tons of corn sold, 4.7 million tons of wheat sold, and most of the trade estimates going into that report were kind of like 2 to 3 million tons. So I think probably what happened is everybody was waiting around for that report to try to take the market higher, and it did initially, but it quickly met a lot of selling, and then I think a lot of farmers with inventory sitting in the elevator deciding whether or not they need to pay, you know, 22, 25 cent storage or just pitch it out, and I think we saw a lot of that happen today, and that kind of aggravated the situation here on the downside. So, I mean, it was a report that we've been talking about for 3 weeks, so it fit into that classic trader's axiom of buy the rumor, sell the news, and that's exactly what happened here today.
On the daily charts, not too pretty. December corn on the nearby, July corn, November beans, May beans, July beans, November beans of next year, all posting upside down days.
Yeah, after today, look at the chart, you kind of feel like the person that designed the Obama WebCare website. You know, where's where can I put myself out of this mess? But the thing that that I'm looking at is if you look at your monthly charts on all both corn and soybeans, we are right down against those monthly trend line charts. It's an uptrend line drawn off of the 05 low on corn and the 06 low on soybeans. So we're still in a point in here where the market can maybe make a stand. If these numbers give way, well then, you know, then we've got the quick move on down to $4 probably on corn, which is a benchmark. And then you probably got a quick move down on soybeans, probably. Oh, January beans probably slip back to 12 real quick, and then we'll kind of go from there. You know, tomorrow's private estimates, Informa, will be out during the day. I'm not too sure if it's at, I think it's at 11 o'clock. They usually release their numbers 11 Central Time. And then you have FC Stone the same day coming out after the market closes on Friday. So the trade is going to trade those two numbers tomorrow and Monday. And then things will probably calm down a little bit, and we'll see what USDA gives us next Friday. And USDA, I think, is going to be the I think Informa Economics is going to try to make some acreage adjustments based upon the latest data that they saw from the farm service agencies, which was probably August numbers. We didn't get any September numbers, or we didn't get any October numbers yet. And I think, didn't you say that Joe says that they're going to be able to take a look at those numbers?
Yeah, he said, if I remember correctly, and I think I do, that they will arrive at USDA November 4.
And he would, and that group would have at least a chance to take a look at those numbers before they make any acreage changes.
Yep.
So that's going to be the big key. I think that'll be the one that kind of swings the pendulum probably a week from Friday, because the two previous reports, the August and September numbers, all implied very, very, very low certified acreage numbers. It was exceptionally low compared to historical years. So it'll be interesting to see if those numbers climb very much over the past 2 months or not, or if USDA is going to have to take a whack out of the planted acreage numbers. And I think that's the only really unknown out there at the moment. Yields are good. The only question mark is, you know, what number do you want to put on the yield, I think, at this point. But as I say that, demand is turning out, export demand is turning out to be much better than what I think anybody had visualized before harvest started. I think both these sales numbers that came in here today, and you look at the accumulation basically for the marketing year, we've already sold 66% of what USDA has projected on corn. We've sold 86% of the bushels that USDA projected for soybeans, and we're about 57% of the way on wheat. So when you look at corn and soybeans, there's definitely room there for USDA to add some bushels into that category. How many they'll put in and during November, or if they'll go slow, probably go a little slow, but you know, they got corn exports at 12.25. I think before the year's out, we'll probably be at 1.5. They got soybeans, I think, sitting at about 13.70. Again, I think I could easily top 1.5. So export demand is turning out to be a little better than what everybody thought. Ethanol demand continues to chug right along. If you take into account the bushels that were brought from the southern areas to the north during August, we've probably already used up 1 billion bushels of corn for ethanol this year. So, and I think that kind of explains why the market hasn't maybe gotten as bearish as a lot of people thought maybe 2 or 3 months ago, is that the pipeline was empty. We've got, you know, a lot of demand around with ethanol. Export decided to pick up at the same time. But we still are going to have an adequate supply of inventory to kind of move through the marketing channels through the winter months. So upside recovery prospects without a weather problem in South America is probably not going to be as meaningful as what we would like to see. Let's see what the USDA gives us on the November crop report, and then we can kind of go from there.
Dan, thanks so much. Hey, go down to the French Quarter and take a peek at least.
Okay.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Your Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media, Dave Dickey, is here now with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, the CFTC finalized a rule on customer protections yesterday that enhances transparency on how companies use customer funds. The bulk of the rule strengthens auditing requirements, increases supervision of customer collateral, holds leaders accountable for shortfalls, and gives regulators better access to firms' bank accounts. The rule is designed to better safeguard segregated customer funds in case their futures commission merchant goes bankrupt, like in the case of MF Global or PFG Best. The final version of the rule dropped the controversial at all times language from the residual interest requirement. That language could have forced brokerages and FCMs to require their farmer, rancher, and agribusiness customers to pre-fund margin calls. CFTC's final rule sets a firm time when futures commission merchants must calculate residual interest, 6 p.m. the day after the trade was made. FCMs must comply with that provision in 1 year. Congress started conference talks on the Farm Bill yesterday. The formal opening amounted to statements from the 41 members around the table on Capitol Hill, with terms such as common ground being used frequently. Yet divisions arose Wednesday in areas such as target prices, conservation compliance, country of origin labeling, and a provision in the House bill that would limit states' ability to regulate agricultural products. The two chambers are trying to resolve differences in a Senate farm bill that scores out at $955 billion over 10 years, and a House bill that would cost $921 billion. No future meeting has been set to get closer to a final deal. More than 47 million Americans who receive food stamps will see their benefits go down tomorrow. Beginning in November, a temporary benefit from the 2009 economic stimulus that boosts food stamp dollars will no longer be available. The Agriculture Department says a family of four receiving food stamps will receive $36 less a month. Royal Dutch Shell PLC, Europe's largest oil company, says third quarter earnings fell due to weaker demand for fuel and a drop in output. Earnings fell to $4.25 billion from $6.15 billion in the same quarter a year ago. Meanwhile, ExxonMobil's profit is down 18% from last year. Third quarter net income at ExxonMobil was $7.87 billion, or $1.79 a share. That compares with $9.57 billion, or $2.09 a share a year earlier. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, and several things will be coming up for the winter meeting season, including the Ag Masters Program, hosted right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois by the folks at the Crop Sciences Department. If you're interested in a two-day event in early December, visit ipm.illinois.edu. Or just search Ag Masters, all one word, and Google, and you'll find it. It's a great program over 2 days if you really want some in-depth learning about production agriculture from the University of Illinois. Look up the Ag Masters program.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
It's a Thursday afternoon. Let's check the cash grain market. On the phone line, Matt Bennett from TGM Total Grain Marketing out of Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, tell me about your farm to begin with. Are you done with corn?
Well, we're done with soybeans, and then on corn we've got maybe a couple days left. We're like several other guys. We had some replant fields that we were kind of waiting around on just a little bit. But bottom line is the last week or so, we've just been trying to get done before this weather, and it didn't quite work out. But I think we're going to be all right.
Yields, I suppose, were like everybody else, surprisingly good.
Yes, I would say that we were very, very happily surprised whenever we harvested this year with pretty much all the fields that we were in. Even towards the end on some of our lighter ground, we were probably running 30 to 40 bushel above what we thought we were going to have.
Do you have a grain pile at Windsor?
No, we do not have a grain pile at Windsor at the present time, and we probably will not. We're going to try to, since we have 30-some facilities, try to keep everything indoors if possible.
And do you have to then load it on train or truck to manage that, or is it just...
Yes, we have trains coming in, actually, here in the next couple of weeks, so we will be managing our supply with that.
And when you do that, that means you'll be able to store for a much longer time and won't have to do the second harvest. I'm wondering whether that means anything to you in the broader perspective of how the marketplace might trade over the coming 6 months.
Well, I think whenever you look at this, Todd, I mean, it's pretty obvious that the basis has actually been fairly impressive here recently, and I think we can all see that maybe some of the processors and commercials haven't exactly been able to source grain as easily as they may have thought they were going to earlier on. And so, to me, as we move forward, I think basis is probably going to weaken at some point. You know, when the dam breaks, I think it's probably going to break. And so moving forward, I think that from a cash grain perspective, I can't get super bullish. I would sure want to see someone have some risk management in place, especially, you know, now that we've got the October pricing period over with and you don't really have that safety net anymore.
And how would you recommend they do that?
Well, there's a couple of different ways to look at it, obviously. I mean, you know, it's kind of interesting today. At-the-money call or put for March, you know, are running right around 20 cents. So for $1,000, you know, if you want to go ahead and sell your grain basically for the cost of storage, you can do that by call. Or if you want to go ahead and store, you know, I'd say on-the-farm storage maybe would be more sensible considering what you're paying for that. You can go ahead and buy a put option. But if you're going to do commercial storage, I don't see any problem with that. It's just, it's going to take a substantial rally at this point to get there.
And your bids for the day?
Yeah, on corn, we'd be right around 417 area, and then on beans, we'd be 1268.
Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks, Doc.
Mm-hmm. That is Matt Bennett. He's with TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Back in 2 minutes with the weather forecast.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
It's All Hallows' Eve and National Caramel Apple Day. The invention of the caramel apple generally goes to Dan Walker, a sales representative for Kraft Foods. Legend has it that in the 1950s, Walker and his young son came up with the idea after buying a red candied apple made with a hard sugar coating. Walker discovered the key to getting the caramel to stick to the apples was adding a little water as the caramels are melted. On this day in agricultural history in 1731, Carl von Voigt was born, a German physiologist. His work on metabolism helped establish modern nutritional science. In 1920, Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes handed down the decision for the Supreme Court, which upheld trademark violations for the Coca-Cola Company against the Coke Company of America. That's K-O-K-E. They argued that Coca-Cola should have changed its name after dropping cocaine from its formula, and that a picture of coca leaves and cola nuts on the bottle's label was misleading. The court disagreed. In 1981, Dunkin' Donuts opened its first store in Thailand. And in 2003, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration released a summary of a draft report concluding that cloned farm animals and their offspring pose little scientific risk to the food supply. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Thursday afternoon. Mike Tenor from T-Storm Weather in Chicago is not available today, but we do have an update of the weather forecast from Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
The forecast across the Midwest has not changed much from that of yesterday. It still looks as though we're dealing with the storm system that produced significant amounts of moisture across the Midwest in the last 24 hours. Storm system will be focused mostly on the eastern Midwest today, and we'll look for additional rain totals running a quarter to three quarters of an inch, with some local totals upwards to an inch and a half. The storm system has already produced some impressive rain totals across portions of the central sections of the Midwest, really from portions of eastern Kansas and Missouri and southern Iowa into parts of Illinois. We've seen a lot of 1 to 2.5 inch amounts of moisture. The ground is considerably wetter now in those areas than it has been, and field work will not be very quick to resume. We do expect to see a couple of days' worth of drying here across that region that will help quite a bit. And the best drying will likely occur Sunday and Monday in some of this region, where the temperatures will start to warm up again and we'll likely see no precipitation occurring. Now, with that said, I do think there is a chance for some showers to occur on Monday and Tuesday of next week as our setup in the atmosphere begins to evolve for supporting the next storm system that promises to move across the Midwest as we get into the middle part of next week. Everything looks about the same for the storm system next week as what we've seen this week. In other words, we have a southwesterly flow pattern aloft and a lot of Gulf of Mexico moisture moving northward and cooler air coming southward across the backside of the frontal system next week. So the setup is going to be much like that of the past 2 days, when we'll see some significant rain occurring, especially in the eastern Midwest on that event. The northwestern half of the U.S. corn and soybean production areas are probably not going to be seeing a lot of precipitation over the next 2 weeks. It will not be completely dry in those areas, but the precipitation that occurs is going to be a lot lighter and less significant, less threatening for some of the crops there relative to the precipitation that will be occurring across the lower and eastern parts of the Midwest. We do expect to see temperatures cool off a bit now over the next couple of days. Some of the eastern Midwest has been very warm past 2 days, temperatures well above average, and it will still be warmer than normal out there here yet today. But as we move on into the weekend, we'll likely see the temperatures down into a much more seasonable range. And those seasonable temperatures should mean 40 and 50 degree highs for many areas across the Midwest. That will contrast greatly from readings that will be mostly 60s and some lower 70s today. The 40 and 50 degree readings will be only with us on Saturday and Sunday. We'll start seeing some warming take place Monday and Tuesday of next week, And there's a good chance we'll be back into some 60-degree readings during the early to middle part of next week ahead of that next storm system. Our low temperatures at night across the big part of the Midwest will be running mostly in the 40s and 50s in the lower portions of the region, but we'll see 30s and some 20s occurring in the northwest. And those 50-degree readings will occur mostly tomorrow morning in the extreme southeast part of the region. I think for the rest of the forecast period, in the southeastern parts of the Midwest, we'll see lows in the 40s with a few upper 30s as well. The coolest weather will be Sunday. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Our thanks to Drew Lerner for his update of the weather forecast. And that wraps up this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.